Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Cobbler's daughter, I'm thought of rude and mean, but to find her on a body lost where you've never seen. I've plagued me father's head, for me life I wouldn't wed.
Yes, God.
Mother's in the prison,
yeah.
Open,
you know,
there was a handsome young man.
Hope he's kind of clear.
Live by me.
Just apologize for the last couple of weeks.
If I went in, he'd always follow me. I know I'd not rue the day.
Presenter's mic.
I say,
he's on
I
a
took
little
chamber
hips, you know what I mean? So we just have to just switch things around, but that's joined by a man called CV. Come in, CV.
Yeah, good afternoon. Oh, is it good evening? It's good evening, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it depends whereabouts you are, really. You know what I mean?
I would say it's that evening, isn't it? Boy, another Friday come.
See you there.
This time next week, normally just done work. So.
Okay. Well, you're back at work soon,
yeah,
isn't
it? I'm back, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Friday, the 28th of August. Live and direct, sweet talking sport. Without further ado, hope nobody's listening, but you know, if you are, you better be of yourself. Car Carnival reach this weekend, you know what I mean? So we know are no trouble, or you might end up in a bubble, you know? Yeah, 100%, you know? So, one of boys, and you have a girl crew too, so on have to be of yourself too. Yeah, this is Sweet Talking Sport. Straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest stories, both interviews and during an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussions on sporting events, whether local, whether national, good to go out in an air, expansive debate, analysed by myself and Mr. V. Yeah, your regular programming, Yorkshire's best talk sports chat show you'll ever hear. On point each Friday, or most Fridays from 6 till 7. Yeah, you can listen to us live, or you can catch it up on the archives. So, Toma is in the ring against Dubrovnik.
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, this weekend as tomorrow. So he's got his dancing partner and looks like he's going to be ready to boogie.
Okay.
Are you going to take in that fight?
Yeah, I we're talking about it today earlier on, me and, you know, a few of brethren them.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, when's that? And he said, oh, it's on tomorrow. So I said, yeah, I'll have a little look at that, because it's going to be... what is it? If he deals with it, he'll be the
IBF, innit?
He'll be the second youngest, isn't it? To
yeah,
be second world champ,
yeah,
other than Tyson.
It's true.
So yeah,
and, at the age of 21, anything is possible.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, his opponent is actually 34. I kind of looked at this fight. You know what I mean? And like. V says, and quite right, second youngest champ in history, you know. And I think that he'll do it, you know. There's enough expectations on him. He's expected to win. And obviously in the other guy's corner, no, in fact... Ben Davis. He's in. Itomi's corner for this one. But and I can remember Ben Davis said to Wardsley, you know, let's roll the dice. So let's hope there's no rolling the dice tomorrow, because I think that was some ridiculous kind of instructions to give to Fab when he was in the ring with Daniel, right, with Triple D. Right. You know what I mean? Because obviously, you know, Wardley got some facial damage.
He did.
Aggravated his Noah's bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That pop.
Mm-hmm.
I get pop out too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it was a bit of a mess, really. You know, to put it kind of blunt. But Itoma, I think I will kind of definitely give him the decision. I probably would say between 8 and 9. I think if it goes over 9 into 10, then he'll be in dark waters, and that's where, you know, you could probably see the other guy catch him a little bit and certainly test his chin. You know what I mean?
My guy, you know, on TalkSport, the two of them, when them talk, you've got the Scottish guy and
Jordan. Yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
He was talking and he was said to him, he said, oh, people say, you know, you're a talented boxer, and we all know that, but does that slight little whether you can take a punch? So my guy says, well, that's something we'll have to wait and see. And I thought, yeah, I like that. Because Jordan was definitely hinting that, oh, maybe he can't take a punch because he's never been tested.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, because he's never really been tested, had he? He's never been put there. So I told him, I just said, well, we'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let me see if I can get something what Itoma's saying. Let's have a look.
Moses is a million times better than that, and I think Moses will not get to a point where they go to where flag of British boxing. Champion just after Mike Tyson, the youngest world champion in boxing, the quickest British boxer to win the heavyweight title, I believe. I think Anthony Joshua done it in 15 fights, and obviously this is my 14th. People have the expectations of you doing great things. Of course, it's nice to obviously know that people hold you in high regard, but at the same time, it's like, if I go and knock out Hargovich, and become a world champion at 21 years old, that's a big deal. But to a lot of people, it's like, oh, he's supposed to do that. So it's like a lose-lose situation for me, because it's like, if I win, I've done what people expect. And if I lose, it's like, oh, it wasn't as good as what I thought.
Can you remember when you first thought, one day I'd like to be the heavyweight champion of the world?
To be honest, when I first started boxing, I was just like, one day I want to be rich. It wasn't even about the world title. So I remember when I was a kid, I used to watch Floyd Mayweather's lifestyle videos. And I was like, I can't wait to have, I don't know what he's got. And just like over time, you come to realize like that's not the right thing to focus on. Money's kind of made Floyd Mayweather, and that's his like identity. I don't feel like a lot of good comes from that.
You're now at the opportunity to challenge for the world title. You haven't even been 12 rounds yet. So there's a part of you think it'd have been nice just to know. So you think if we get deep into the fight and it's rough, I know I've got it. And no, I know I've been there before.
Do you know what it is? It's like, Lee Wiley actually said it to me yesterday. You've got to remember that all the guys you're fighting, they're in the same boat as you. So if like you're pushing the pace, they'll feel that. When I first turned professional, I was all about becoming the youngest heavyweight world champion. But
there's just certain boxes you need to tick to put yourself in that position. And I feel like I've done that. Although I haven't gone 12 rounds and I ain't took one on the chin, I don't think that's a characteristic that you need to become a heavyweight world champion.
What about mum and dad? How are they feeling about this?
So my dad wanted me to be a doctor or something. Like every time we used to come home, we'd just book work, book work, book work.
Your dad's Nigerian?
Shit, it's standard. To know what, I've got a perfect baby. This is how an African dad looks at you.
Youngest. Second youngest. And quite honest, kind of honest chap, you know what I mean? A fine Itoma. And yeah, he's kind of like, he's definitely on point. But I think for me, however, if it goes like in a 10, Hergovic, for me, he's got that kind of the experience to turn the fight on its head, really. And to be like a menace, like Dennis the Menace, you know what I mean? Yeah, it can be a kind of live wire, you know what I mean, out there. So I think it could get a bit sticky, really. I mean, if we look to break it down advantage wise, Itoma have dangerous and speed pan him,
yeah.
You know what,
yes,
I mean, for a big,
yes,
a big dude, while Hergovic has the ring experience. Which would you want? Would you want the hand speed or the ring experience? Obviously, people would say, well, obviously you want both, but some aren't gifted that way.
That's true. You know? That's true. I think ring experience gets you out of problems because you know what you're doing.
Yes.
I think with ring experience, yes, because when you've been in that ring and you've been in that ring the amount of times,
mm-hmm,
there may be times when because of your experience, you know, well, you know what, I'm just going to take it easy in this round, or I've got a feeling he's going to do this, so I'm going to. So I think ring experience really matters, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast hands. Yeah, that's good, because that helps you to defeat your opponent, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Jab and move, but I think in and out.
Ring experience,
mm-hmm,
helps you to defeat your opponent as well, because you can probably see what your opponent is going to do, or read what your opponent's going to do before he makes that move. Do you know what I mean? Because,
mm-hmm,
because of your experience, because of you've been there already and done it.
True. Definitely. I go along with every word you said, Pondat. You know what I mean? And then, you know, Itoma never been past 6th round. So...
Sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying, he's never been past 6. I mean, is that a good thing?
Well,
or, you know?
Well, it can be seen good and bad, can't it? Because, I mean, it says basically that he finishes off his opponents, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at the same time, going back to ring experience...
Mm-hmm.
Does he have that experience
to go to see deep to, water?
Yeah, to yeah. go to the twelfth round.
I mean, obviously, he would have done 12 round, obviously in sparring and stuff like that, and you know, build up his stamina. But I don't think there's anything like, you know, the sparring 12 rounds and actually in a fight 12 rounds. You know what I mean? I think there's a big difference of that. But, like I said, if it goes into 10, you know, the people will be thinking, oh, or even if it goes past 7, to be honest with you, people will be saying, new territory this.
It is.
You know what I mean? Is he going to get tested even more?
Mm-hmm.
Can he go past 8? Has he got it in him? I mean, for a big guy, he's really quick. And still learning at 21 as well. And he'll be the first to kind of like admit that. You know what I mean? But I think it should be, I don't think it'll be a quick fight, you know, like some heavyweights were just a load of punishment and move on, innit? But Ergovic, could he cope under like heavy volume?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, getting fed with them kind of them thumps. You know what I mean? So it should be kind of like a.
We'll see whether he can undertake it, right, and then come out on top.
This is another one of them things as well, you know, because like you know, you've got the other heavyweights watching. I mean, obviously, it was you were seeking it, what vacated his belts and stuff. So this is one of them why it become vacant and that, innit? You know what I mean? But I can't, and I kind of really disagree with Itoma when he was saying that if he loses, you know, he's probably not ready and stuff. I think that's just him playing down a good talking game. You know what I mean? Because really, I don't even think that he's got a loss in him in this one. You know what I mean? But like you said, Mr. V, quite rightly too.
He's probably preparing the ground just in case. Just in case. But personally, I don't see him losing this.
Yeah, definitely. Same thing too. All right, we're going to flip it now. It's 18-17. And just want to chat about Venus. Venus Williams, being given a wild card in the USA Open, which starts at the end of this month, on Sunday, actually. Venus, 46.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, I think becoming a bit of a show woman, really.
Okay.
Big name. And the organisers said, you know, we want big names in our tournament. So, you know, we'll give you a wild card.
No bigger than her, yeah.
And we'll give you a bye. So she opens it up. First round. Wild card. And, you know, I think for the organisers of the USA Open, it makes sense for commercial rights, puts bums on seats, and it adds value, I suppose, to the tournament, adds a bit of value, adds a bit of flavour. She's ranked, and I don't really think that she gives a damn about these rankings, really. So only the stats. I mean, she's ranked 611
there you
in
go.
Singles in Adi World.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
In doubles, ranked 100.
Okay.
But like I said, I don't think she business about that. Mm. I think she's just looking to entertain.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She's the same one that played at Wimbledon, yeah?
No, it was her sister. Serena.
Right. Okay. So both of them are come back in at it then.
Yeah. And Serena had to retire through.
Yeah. Some sort of injury or something.
Injury. Yeah. Because there was due to play the doubles as well, but True said injury took over. It wasn't really kind of like possible. You know what I mean? What do you think to Venus? 46, given a wild card, USA Open, in the public domain.
It's all business for me.
You're right. Yeah.
It's all business because, I mean, I'm not saying she's not a quality tennis player, because she is. But at 47, she has the experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but we have these young up-and-coming ones, right? Who I think will be just slightly better than her now. So I think she's just coming in there just to, I don't know, rekindle.
Add a bit of spice in it.
Yeah, I think a bit of spice.
She'll get an appearance.
Yeah.
She'll get some corn in it for that.
I just think she's just to rekindle old memories for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know she's not going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's just to show people, say, look, yeah, I'm still here. I can do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's been playing professional tennis for 30 years now.
Exactly, that's my point.
30 years.
That's my point, that's what I'm saying.
And her last 14, just for the record, her last 14 single matches have all ended in defeat.
There you go.
So, like I said, it's a commercial thing. Puts bums on seats, gets people excited. And I think the pressure is not on her, it's her opponent.
Of course it is,
because you'd be thinking, you know, I mean, the coach for her opponent would be saying, you've got Venus, right? She's 46, hasn't won a single match for the last 14 single games she's played in. Don't make it, let's make it 15. You know what I mean? And try to big her up that way. Venus, while Venus has got absolutely nothing to lose, she can go out there and have some fun, wave to the crowd and all that kind of thing, sign autograph. And,
of course. You know? And if she wins, it's a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
100%. But, yeah, is it good for tennis? Is it good for, you know, for a generational icon? You know, should be interesting. I mean, I don't mind a bit of tennis. I think I'll probably dip in and dip out. You know what I mean? You know when you're surfing the channels, them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I'll just, if it's on, I'll wall it
down.
Have
a quick look.
Yeah, definitely wall it down. You know, yeah, flipping it again. This is a bit of a story. This one, Asian Games hosts say all the athletes will have room. Basically, these games will be starting at the end of the month in Japan, and all the athletes will have accommodation for the event after fears there will be a shortage of rooms, right? So initially, they said that there was 15,000 athletes in these games at the end of the month in Japan. But now these figures have swelled up to 17,000. You know what I mean? And people are saying, "Where are they gonna stay?" You know what I mean? So you know the committee got together, put out a statement. You know, which said that they wanted to clear up things. You know what I mean? And you know, accommodation issue and stuff. So they said, yeah, all the 17,000 smaddy them, yeah, and officials are registered for the Asian Games. And she's been closing, and there'll be accommodation. And what they're looking to do, they're looking at, like, you know, them cruise ship and all them something.
I'm hearing you.
Yeah, they're saying, see it there? Your room's on there. You know what I mean? So, where there's a way,
there's a will.
See it there? So, that's they're kind of like, they're bridging that. You know what I mean? So, it's like, at first you think, do you know what they're saying here? How come they've gone from 15 to 17,000? You know what I mean? Have the figures being manipulated? Are they kind of playing things down, that everything's going to be all right? Or are they saying, you know what, we don't business, find your own accommodation. You know what I mean? There's plenty of space. And, you know, if it is on them kind of like, on them liners and stuff, you know, where they're creating space for people, let's hope, say, the ship is safe. You know, and it's not going to be like April 1912, you know, when the Titanic.
Oh,
you're going in on my ship now. Yeah.
Oh, with Mr. Smith.
2022 midnight. Early hours of the morning, 20 two, past two.
2 hours, yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, know? It did.
So let's hope that this ship ain't sailing and the people them are safe.
Okay.
It should be some good games. Should be a lot of good things on the box. And again, like I said, you know, when I'm surfing the channels, them, I would take a look and see what guan, you know.
Okay.
18:25. Flipping it again. And I think we saw this coming because the Scottish Cup, you know, they're saying that, in fact, the Scottish authorities are saying, I should say, when Celtic and Rangers play their cup matches, they might forget the opposition some can.
And they got to play behind closed doors as well?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They might forget their opposition 100,000.
Okay.
And like you said, play it behind doors.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors.
Well, that's what I've been told.
You know? Celtic are saying, they're sticking up their hand and they're saying, do you know what? Is it proportionate? Is it fair? Is it reasonable? I call that the three corners of reasoning. You know, when you're reasoning with Smaddy, you've got to say, is it fair what they're saying? Reasonable and proportionate to their punishment, you know, when Celtic and Rangers clash and there was all that heavy hand business going on the pitch. Some people got heavy handed and some people ended up going to the hospital for get little treatment, you know what I mean, because things did spill over.
Was it like some kind of hooligan element?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean,
between Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, man. Can you remember when it kicked off, March time? That was that come out of the hearing. Yeah. In fact, it was March. Yeah, quarter final. Celtic quarter final win at Ibrox in March.
Okay.
When there was all that kind of unnecessary disturbance. You know what I mean? And why them have to get out to Anne? Jano. You know?
Yeah.
Only Jano about that.
That's right. You know, football game and they're bringing the game into disrepute, aren't they?
I mean, what kind of punishment would you say is fair, reasonable and proportionate for somebody who gets involved in that ticky-tacky business?
The club should get some sort of ban, because remember now, right? They have to keep the crowd in control. You know what I mean?
And what about the people who are actually physically involved, who want to, you know, loosen their lefts and rights?
Well, they need to loosen their lefts and rights in a boxing ring, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that's kind of well said, that Mr. V. You know what I mean?
You know, there's other than, I will go as far as to say, it's not just boxing; it's a physical sport. You've got your UFC. Mm-hmm. You've got karate.
It's true.
You've got all many different things. They could do that, all disciplined sports.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing to run on a pitch and causing havoc.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't feel that's a sensible thing to do.
Mm. I said to the captain and that one time, I said we should go to one of them firm clashes. You know what I mean? I've been to...
It's very hard to get tickets for that.
I think I've been to two.
Right.
And I wouldn't hesitate to...
I wouldn't mind going to one.
...to go again.
Definitely, I wouldn't mind going for one, but I know it's very, very hard to get tickets.
Atmosphere.
Because it's only recently they've allowed away fans to go to each other's ground.
Mm-hmm.
Only recently. Because before, they never used to allow them.
Yeah.
They were banned.
Mm-hmm. The atmosphere's bubbling out there, you know what I mean? But yeah. I think, like you said... With the trouble as well, now it'd be even more difficult to get them. I think you'd have to online one of them like footballing kind of agents and that what get tickets, but you have to be careful that the website's not a scammer's, you know what I mean, because that will be another thing. 18:30, 28th of August, listen to Sweet Tongues. But I've got Mr. V in the studio. And if you've just tuned in, you know, just do a little kind of like recap business, really. Itoma and Hergovich, they have their tear up tomorrow at London's O2, I do believe. In fact, who are you going to? Are you going for Moses to take the IBF crown?
I certainly am, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any kind of round prediction or anything like that?
Nah, I'm not into round predictions. As long as he just does the job, that's all that matters, really.
I hear that. I think that 7th, 8th, something like that, if it goes 10 deep waters, it could swing the other way because Ergovic, dangerous dude, you know.
To be fair, I've not heard much of him, about him at all.
Dangerous. He'll have to be on his A game. And like we said, not being past 6, I think this fight will take him over 6. You know what I mean? For the first time, I think he'll go over 6.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? So, you know. And then we kind of like... discussed Venus, age 47, credit to the sport. She's got a wild card at the US Open, which starts this Sunday in the first round. And we were just saying that, you know, she's ranked 611 in singles and doubles is 100. And I don't really think that she business is about that. As long as she's there to entertain, and she'll get enough respect from the pundits out there and the crowd and all the rest of them. So that should be an interesting one. And then we've got big ship sailing on the ocean in Japan, with the Asian Games due to take place on the 19th of next month. And the issue there that we was having a conversation between ourselves was that apparently there's 1,500 athletes and now there's 17,000 athletes. So should be kind of an interesting one. And Celtic and Rangers have been... in fact, just jumping back onto that, do you think they've been punished again? Because... you know, is it seen as another punishment when they got to pay the opposition a 100,000?
So Celtic have to pay Rangers 100,000?
No, whichever team they draw.
Oh, right.
They have to play the opposition. Right,
obviously, the club, the away club's saying, look, we're losing Venice. You know.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder who sets that tariff, though. I wonder who's... obviously got a bit of Scottish FA, innit? But what I'm saying is, like, how they come to that figure. You know what I mean? You'd have thought, maybe looked at the average attendances and stuff like that, really. And maybe it's kind of based on there, but, you know, the Scottish FA have just said, we'll drop it as a tozen. So, be interesting. To see that. Okay, into the championship, and we've got Blades travelling back to Wales.
Is it Cardiff?
They're playing Cardiff, yeah. I think Cardiff are a similar kind of, similar level as Sheffield United. I can't see there being a lot of goals in this game. United's defence... they have kind of showed it up a little bit, not really conceding much at the moment and still looking to strengthen. But again, you know, is scoring going to be a problem? They create the chances. Without creating the chances, you ain't obviously going to score, but they don't really be seem to be firing much, but a prediction for me would be United just to sneak, have a sneak little away win in Cardiff.
It could happen. Mm-hmm. It could happen. A little 1-0.
Just a 1-0, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That could happen. It could happen.
Mm-hmm. 100%, definitely. And then the I think this is a reality check in League One, really, because the Owls are hosting Bromley. You know what I mean? And so, you know, you're not talking about your Bradfords or your Huddersfields or whatever, Bromley. Not sure how long they've been in that division for, but Wednesday will be looking to get winning ways. But I think for me,
maximum points.
Yeah, I think it's a reality check of where they're at. You know what I mean? They've just took another striker on loan from Liverpool, some young youth. You know what I mean? Up front, and yeah, I think Bromley will be excited to play at Hillsborough. So I think they're looking to raise their game. I'm not surprised if Bromley come away with 3 points again. You know what I mean?
You could be right. You see, the pressure's on Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, to produce.
Right.
And win good.
You know, the pressure's on them. They're at home, right? They're the big club. They're the massive, right? So you can't really expect a little Bromley to come here and do a great deal, are you? So the pressure's on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. True. And I think, you know, like when teams hit Hillsborough, they won't have played at a stadium like that for a few seasons. Talking about the club, maybe not necessarily a player, and teams what play Hillsborough will be looking to raise their game, you know. So that's an interesting one tomorrow, 3 o'clock kickoff. We need to hear from the captain. If you're out there, give us a signal and let me know your kind of predictions, because we'll drop it again. I have to expose the captain, you know, because. And it's not the first time. When Wednesday get a victory, hot like toast.
Oh, my gosh.
He will remind people.
Oh, my gosh.
The score, everything. Video panicked, everything. And even caption took one. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You're not lying.
When them lose, no.
You're not hearing nothing. You're not hearing nothing.
Yeah.
No,
I wonder why is that.
I agree. Sometimes the captain will come on and he's making prediction and asking prediction about.
That's right.
Just remember, asking prediction about, say, for my team then, mm-hmm. who are in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. The Premier League. And he's asking prediction about Premier League game. What would he know about Premier League game? What any Wednesday fan is going to know about Premier League game?
In modern football time.
You know, that's what I'm talking. It's not right. But you're asking for prediction, right? And it's not just my team. It does it with as you know, with Sheffield United. Predictions about... Mm. Really, how I see it, you should be concentrating about your team. And what they will do. Make a prediction about what they will do.
It's true.
Right? And then, after that, if you really do feel the need or the urge that you want to find out what you think other people's team will do, then fair enough. But you never make no prediction about for mm-hmm. your team. It's always about everybody else. Look last week.
Mm-hmm.
Look on last week. It was asking about a prediction for my team against Bournemouth. And we came through in the ending. But he gave a whole heap of description about how defense shaky and all them kind of something, you know what I mean? But then, it come in like, say, him team never play at all. And they played Bradford. And what happened? At home.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? They got touch up in it, right? Then we had midweek game. See, now, when you're in the big league, then, you know, in the big league,
mm-hmm. I hear that, Mr. V.
Right. You don't really play in Carabao Cup. You know, I'm just saying, you don't generally play midweek in first round and second round. Because you're a big team. You're in a big league. You don't come in at
tell
that.
Tell them, Mr. V. Tell them. Talk to them. Talk
but
to
you
them.
See, when you're in lower league team, right?
Yeah.
You have, you're playing them games.
Talk to them, V.
So then, what happens again? I'm waiting for prediction. For say what's going to happen between Wednesday and Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Bearing in mind, Wednesday are at home. So, I'm thinking, yeah, captain's going to come on. And he's going to give big prediction and all this thing. And he thinks that they might be able to, you know, get a little win or something against Wolves. Not a thing.
Mm-mm.
And what happens again?
Talk to them.
Them lose again.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, don't worry about other people, team. Don't worry about any prediction. Just worry about your team. Concentrate upon them. See what them will do.
See it there? Them said, don't believe people's business, but mind your own.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. There's a tune.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Leave people's business alone.
See it there? Definitely. So, Mr. Moore, better come out of it. Yeah? So, Bromley, I think they'll get excited and they'll want to put a big show for Hillsborough. You know what I mean?
I also believe that they'll bring quite a few because it's a ground they've probably not been to before.
It's true.
So they're going to, I think they'll bring, I'd be surprised if they don't bring 3,000. Yeah.
Yeah. And there'll be a big crowd. I mean, obviously Wednesday I've kind of reduced their tickets and stuff like that. Made it affordable. Well, they had to win it really. They couldn't have them season tickets at the same price as last season. You know, that
some
was
of them, are, I think some of them have still paid £400 for theirs.
Why?
Yeah.
I better them pay it than me. You know what I mean?
But,
you know? So, yeah, interesting. Okay. Big game on tonight, Crystal Palace. If Andrew, y'all listen.
Yeah, I'm a big man there. Yeah. I'm a big man.
Carlo
yeah.
for Andrew.
Yeah, a big man.
He'll be tuning into that. I'm surprised I got. In fact, give him a signal, Fui. Send him a signal.
Yeah. You know? I always get a little something from
yes.
him.
Yes.
You know.
8 o'clock kickoff, playing at Palace's ground. How do you see this game going, V?
It's always a hard game against Crystal Palace. Always a hard game, right? But having seen what I saw last week, it's going to be difficult, right? And hopefully we can pinch it. That's what I'm saying. Hopefully we can pinch it. Because last week, Bournemouth, good side, but came there really to defend and sneak a goal, which they did. And up to 84 minutes, they'd done everything right. Mm-hmm. They defended like Trojans, right? But it's like Maresca says, it's not about 90 minutes, is it? No, it's about 96 minutes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And at the end of the day, we played till 96 minutes and we come through. So hopefully we can do the same thing at Crystal Palace. But it is a hard ground to go to and play. Yeah. But I think this, I don't know if that SARS, I don't know if he's still doing some kind of like a strike business because he hasn't been, I don't think he's played.
Was there something about, did he want to get a move or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, seen. Palace, I've won just two of their last 22 Premier League games against City. And that'll be obviously, I'm not sure if that's home or away. Drawn 5, lost 15. Well, yeah. And then
This was last season's score.
Mm-hmm. Scene. Mm-hmm.
So that was a 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
to City last season at their place.
At their ground.
At their place.
Yeah.
So,
in fact, I know something I wanted to ask you about was Maresco's kind of style of play. I know it's in early days and stuff. Is it easy on the eye?
I mean, he did some things that I didn't quite understand, to be fair. I mean, for instance, he played Mark Gay in midfield.
That was a big talking point, weren't it?
But it worked. Well, at the end of the day, it worked. Right. I didn't understand it when I was watching it.
You didn't?
I didn't understand it.
Okay.
Right, because I'm thinking, well, Mark Gay, he's probably one of our best defenders, him. Why are you putting him in midfield?
I remember when you've got massive talking point.
When you've got, with all due respect, I like him, and I don't think Man City should have got rid of him. But you've got somebody like Nico Gonzalez, right? I thought he's a tremendous midfield player, right? Defensive midfield player as well. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being totally honest, I don't think he was really given the chance.
Okay.
Because last season, obviously, Roger was injured. And injured for a long period of time. But, he stepped up. Nico stepped in. And do you know what? We were doing right well when he was in the team, and when it was only when Nico got injured and come up and then Roger came back, it so happened that Roger come back at that time, right? And as soon as Roger come back, he was in the side, and that's when Nico was right. They said, "Well, really, no, you're not a player."
So where's he gone now then?
Newcastle.
Right. What did they buy him for? How much?
Do you know what? I'm not sure. I don't know if it's 50 odd million. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think it's around 50.
Good business then to get that. For
Newcastle, I'd say they've got a good player there. I would say. That's my honest opinion. They've got a good player. Because I think he's a good player.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Massive. I mean, they obviously interviewed Gay after the game. And they obviously mentioned him about, you know, holding his position in midfield. And we're just laughing with him, really.
Yeah, because what's happened is Maresca has looked it up and done his homework. And Mark Gay has played in midfield for Crystal Palace before.
Right.
Right, and done a good job. Mm-hmm. So he thought, do you know what? We'll try that. We'll put Gay in there because he's got good control. And he can definitely tackle.
Like holding midfield players.
So, and he did. And to be fair, I've got to give him his due. Uh-huh. He did. He played okay.
Yeah.
But who I felt we were missing was the man. The man they call the jerks. You know, like jerk chicken. No, seriously. You know, like jerk chicken. When you're biting a jerk chicken and just sweeten up your mouth. Yeah, and that's exactly what did happen with the jerks running. Come on, and him start do him thing, and him set up not two him set up, two at the goal, right? So yeah, we're like jerk chicken, a sweet to rat. Did
hey, yeah. What kind of like score do you reckon that's going to be then?
Oh, tonight.
There's going to be some goals without a doubt.
I think it could be a 2-1 to City, and then again it could be a 3-2 to City, right? But then again, Palace could do the business.
I mean, maybe 3-1 City.
I'd love it if it is.
I'll go 3-1.
I'd love it if it's 1-0. To be honest with you, right? As long as we can get the win, because as you know, there's a club now. This club, right? They're a giant club now. You know, because
there's some talk of them fancying Ndai.
Yeah, that's true.
Grealish
going there. So yeah. That's true.
And I.
That's right.
Dropping in.
That's right. That's right. And I don't have a problem with that because I've said from day one when I said you were playing for, when you were playing for yourself, Sheffield United, and I said to you, who's that guy up there?
He was a baller from Tam. Yeah. You could just tell it. And then United, used to have him on bench. And for me, right, the only thing I can think of was Khan. Because obviously, if they make the squad, ka-ching, they get so much. If they come on off the bench, they get so much. If they start, they get so much. If the bus go, they get so much. Team win so much. Score so much. Do you know what I mean? But I think that must have had something to do with monies because he obviously was just dangerous. I could tell from day one. And every time I saw him on bench, I'm thinking, I can't work it out.
That guy, I couldn't
work it out.
I did rate him, me.
You know?
I did rate him. I said to you, who is he?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, us getting him, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah,
I would be happy with that. Seriously,
I think all parties would be happy because Grealish, he kind of was making some things from Everton. You know what I mean? And he was like saying, "Yeah, it's nice to play football and all them something there again and rare, rare, rare and all that kind of stuff." But I mean, yeah, that would be, I think, a good deal all the way around. 1851, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. I've got Mr. V in our studio and we're just discussing tonight's game.
We've also got the little young boy now, the 18 year, but that Bahabi. We signed him from Lille. Is it Lille?
Okay.
Yeah. Plays from Morocco. And he's bad him.
Mm-hmm.
He's mm-hmm. bad. I seen him against Brazil. Right, I saw him against Brazil, and I thought, wow, this boy looked dangerous. This boy mm-hmm. in midfield, right? But and lots of clubs wanted him. So anybody else, lots of clubs wanted. Mm-hmm. Liverpool did want him. Lots of clubs did want him, right? But he chose to come to Man City instead,
mm-hmm.
right? And yeah, he's bad. Then we've got another one supposed to be coming in the place of Savinho, right? We've got another one called Alan, who's coming from
Brazilian.
Yeah, coming from Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So yeah, they're trying to strengthen. And then we've got
one. Obviously, big clubs are always going to be linked with them toppers. Mm. I mean, Gakpo linked.
Yeah, he'll not come. I don't think he'll come.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but then the one I don't want to come, and I'm going back on it again, this will be the third
Fernandez.
Third show that I've brought this man up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's him, that Enzo. I do not want him to come. But there's other Man City fans what think, yeah, forget about the political side of things and what he's done. Look at what he can bring to the club.
Yeah, there's swings and roundabouts. I mean, if I was a City fan, obviously, I don't think I'd want him in my squad neither.
I don't want him.
And as for Fiwe players who play in City,
exactly, yeah,
they would have a view as well. Obviously, they're not going to be able to
publicly say anything.
Yeah, come public and go up on podcast and say, why?
No, we
don't want him and all that kind of stuff. They've got the expectation for them is to be professional until
correct.
You're not an employer of that club anymore.
Correct.
And beyond. You know what I mean? So
I agree with you.
You know, people will be looking at that and, you know, it's not the first time we haven't kind of jumped on this topic, but I think, you know, and this is just my opinion, he's got bags of potential and he don't need to do them stupidness. But it's the stupidness what's going to be his downfall.
Well,
you know,
look at every club he's played for. if things aren't going his way, he downs tools. Mm-hmm. And he wants to go. And whatever, and like I said, he downs tools. Mm-hmm. So, he manages, he gets his agent to manage or to make so that he can leave the club. Mm. He'll do the exact same thing to Man City. Exact same thing.
100%. I mean, it's kind of too early, really, to start looking at the league tables and the early winners. I mean, we've only played a couple of games.
We've played one.
One game. The divisions I've played, couple maybe. So, you know, I think a bit further on, when we kind of like analyse that kind of thing, we'll look at the kind of front runners. But I think at the moment, it's all about clubs getting their stock in, getting their squad right to you know, have a title push, really, or a promotion push. Because like you know, people, well, not everybody knows, but you know, it's a you know, first two automatic, and then you know, after that, from third to eighth, you're still in the mix. You know what I mean? And obviously, again, it's just a commercial thing. It's about monies, extending the playoffs. Do you know what I mean? To top eight.
Of course,
imagine if you finish third.
Yeah.
And you don't make it.
Yeah.
And third, you could finish 10 points clear of eight. And it probably will be them statistics as well. Mm-hmm. The team what finishes third, say in the Championship, I bet they're 10 points clear, maybe 15 points clear of them what finish in eight. Mm-hmm. Now, if your team finishes in eight, you're going to be delighted that you've just made it. And it's just a lottery from there. But I think you have to feel a way for the team what finishes third and you don't make it. You know what I mean? That's going to be a big, a massive kind of like talking point, really, you know?
Yeah, I think really, this eighth thing, I think it's all about keeping it going, innit? It's about keeping it going, keeping that league interesting right to the very end. That's how I see it.
Yeah, because, I mean, for me, I just think, yeah, if United finished rocked up in eighth, yeah, I'd be all right with that, obviously. And yeah, would I want them to win? Yeah, I'd want them to win, of course. But it's just like, it's just made football a little bit stupid, me. I just think, because, again, it's like, you can finish eighth and go up. You know what I mean? All about the monies. You know what I mean? Let's get it in. But, you know? 1858, you've been entertained by Mr. V and myself, and you know, I'm going to leave you with a bit of tunes in the background for the last couple of minutes.
Alright, adios amigos,
over and out. Play the land.